It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, April 30th. I'm Patricia Naft. The town of Telluride has a new aggressive panhandling ordinance, but before it was adopted, the ACLU of Colorado suggested significant changes to prevent a violation of the First Amendment. Cara Pallone from Rocky Mountain Community Radio partner station CODO has this report.
The town of Telluride has adopted an ordinance to address aggressive panhandling within town limits. The town council recently passed the ordinance on third reading, regulating and restraining certain types of panhandling. The four provisions that will be regulated were explained by town attorney Kevin Geiger at the council's last meeting earlier this month.
Aggressive, intimidating, threatening, or coercive or obscene panhandling activities. That's number one in your ordinance. Number two is using fighting words to solicit from individuals. Touching or grabbing a person while soliciting, that would be your third prohibition or prohibited conduct in the new ordinance, or the revised ordinance, I should say. And then again, obstructing a sidewalk while in the course of panhandling or forcing someone to move out of the way to avoid a person who is obstructing a sidewalk or a public passageway.
The ordinance has come a long way from its original text. Following the first reading of the ordinance in early March, the American Civil Liberties Union of Colorado drafted a letter to the council saying that, as worded, the ordinance would unjustifiably forbid free speech protected by the First Amendment. At the council's March 31st meeting, the ordinance underwent substantial amendments, leaving the four remaining provisions, which were adopted on April 21st. In response to the council's decision, Mark Silverstein, legal director for the ACLU of Colorado, said in a phone call, quote, "We're very pleased we were able to communicate our concerns to the council, and they responded and changed the course of action they had already planned." The ACLU recently filed suits against the cities of Fort Collins and Grand Junction for their panhandling ordinances. The city of Fort Collins, as part of an out-of-court settlement, agreed to pay more than $80,000 to the Colorado arm of the ACLU and will no longer enforce rules against people who engage in passive panhandling. Silverstein says the Grand Junction case is pending in federal district court. The discussion about aggressive panhandling in Telluride surfaced last summer when the town marshal's department reported more than a 300% increase in the complaint rate related to panhandling. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Cara Pallone.
The former DeBec town marshal has been officially charged. Michael Lorsung was the town marshal from 2011 until earlier this month. He was charged by the Mesa County District Attorney's Office with theft, embezzlement of public property, and forgery, all felonies. Lorsung is alleged to have been involved in a scam requesting government vehicles and selling them for personal profit. The first Western Colorado Climate Challenge and Solar Fair starts Friday in Paonia. The event will feature presentations from experts in the field of water and energy. KVNF's Laura Pomisano speaks to the event's organizer, Pete Kolbenschlag.
The conference will take place in Paonia. How will the issues that will be discussed be relevant to a larger audience?
The Western Colorado Climate Challenge is part of a series of events that started last November and will be continuing throughout the state. And so it's very much a statewide effort led by Climate Colorado to get people to address what look like huge issues on the ground locally.
There are a few presentations that explore water issues. The constant narrative seems to be that water demand is high and supplies are low. How will the presentations explore that narrative or differ from it?
It is that narrative that is driving the challenge. The issue is precisely that demand is huge and everyone wants the water, whether it's our downstream neighbors or our neighbors on the other side of the divide, and we need it too. And the rivers need it, and the animals need it, and the environment needs it. And so how do we look forward to an era of scarcity and start addressing that issue now? And the answer is that we, us here, that are using water, start addressing that issue now. And that's what the challenge seeks to address. And that's how it differs from simply putting the narrative out there. We're going to come away with an action plan on how to start making difference.
One of the events scheduled is rapid prototyping. What is that and how will it be part of the conference?
So in the afternoon, all the challenges will be using a rapid prototyping process to get from that narrative, that big picture, the problems that sometimes seem insurmountable, to actual action plans. And so we'll start by addressing specific challenges around those topics: water scarcity, more local power generation, those types of things. And we go through a rapid prototyping process, which is a quick brainstorming, getting to a solution quickly that will come out with actionable plans.
That was KVNF's Laura Pomasano speaking to Pete Kolbenschlag, the organizer of the Western Colorado Climate Challenge and Solar Fair taking place this weekend. One of the speakers at the event will be Sarah Sauter, executive director of the Western Slope Conservation Center. Her organization focuses on natural resource conservation and awareness. KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with Sauter recently about Colorado's water plan. The comment period for the first draft ends tomorrow.
Sarah, thanks for joining us. Could you tell me about Colorado's water plan?
The Colorado Water Plan is a process and document that will outline the strategy, policies, and actions for Colorado to address the projected future water needs for the state. The plan has been informed by about a decade of water studies and stakeholder processes that have helped decision makers and plan writers document how we use water, predict where we will need the water, and identify the gaps between supply and demand. Should come as no surprise that the process revealed that our current statewide water trajectory is no longer sustainable. So the water plan is outlining some of those steps that we need to balance water uses.
Yeah, and water is a very complicated issue, you might say, to put it lightly, in Colorado. What has this water plan, the draft water plan, what has it said about diverting water from Western Slope to the Front Range or some of those bigger issues?
Well, the state water plan is a good start, but we do believe that it needs some more work, specifically in the form of providing meaningful goals and actionable steps that will ensure that our water and way of life are preserved for future generations. The plan does state protecting rivers and water quality and wildlife is important, but we think those things need to be emphasized a little bit greater. We need to focus on conservation so that we can keep our rivers healthy, and protect the rivers, wildlife, communities, businesses, and agriculture that depend on the health of the rivers.
And the comment period is for suggestions like that?
Absolutely. The comment period ends on May 1st, and this is just on the first draft of the water plan. Another draft will come out sometime this summer, September. There'll be another opportunity to provide comment. And then the CWCB, the Colorado Water Conservation Board, hopes to present a final plan to the governor at the end of this year.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan talking with Sarah Sauter with the Western Slope Conservation Center. The comprehensive state water plan may take a while to complete, but there are some bills in the legislature aimed at conserving what water the state has. One bill is co-sponsored by Representative Don Corum of Grand Junction. It establishes a 5-year grant program that looks to remove invasive deep-rooted plants that consume water from the water table, plants like tamarisk or Russian olive. The bill made it out of a committee in the House yesterday, but it's still near the beginning of its journey to become a law. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Tay. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.